Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. The question I received was this: what does it mean in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, "You might well bear with him"? Then this person writes, "I love 2 Corinthians. It reminds me of Galatians chapter 1, 6 through 10. Very good. Should I say very astute or whatever? Well, let's just look at this for a couple minutes. See, this is why I'm not good at responding back with emails, because I can't jibber-jabber as I type my email answers or thoughts or comments. Let's see if this thing works here. But we're at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So the question is this: when it says there in verse 4, receiving another gospel, which you have not accepted, he might well bear with him. So in order to do that, let's just read all these verses. This is a fabulous section here. This is what Paul is all about, actually. Would to God, in verse 1, would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, and here's Paul's biggest concern, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. So, and then it's interesting that you mention Galatians chapter 1. Let's look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 to 10, and you've answered your own question here, which usually is what people do. That's my goal, is for folks to be able to take your Bible and come up with a question and then search it out and find the answer. You can't get better confidence in yourself as a Christian than understanding the Scriptures when you sit down and let God show you. I've said for years that the communication between God, the living God, and the living us is very simple. You can talk to God, you pray without ceasing, Paul says, and then for the answers, you get into your King James Bible, rightly divided, the answers will be in there. He'll show them to you as you read, and you got to stick with it. You can't just hit and miss and that sort of thing. The answers will be there. As, for example, here in Galatians chapter 1, when he says in verse 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. And remember, that's what Paul was fearing for the people, that they would find this another gospel. We'll go back, because it sounds confusing, but it's not. I'll go back and deal with that in a minute. He says in verse 7, which is not another. What is not another? Another gospel. Which is not another. In other words, he's saying there, this really isn't another. This really isn't a gospel. He says here, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. I mean, it isn't gospel. And would pervert the gospel of Christ. The gospel that people need to, when they use the word gospel, They misuse that thing. It's turned into such a general word, just like Christian, the word Christian. All sorts of words have just been generalized ecumenically. The gospel of Christ is the gospel of the risen Savior. It's him. It's all about him, and it is him. And that gospel today is perverted because they go to these other gospels, and like Paul says here, these are other gospels, but they're not another gospel. They aren't gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Fine. We call them the Gospels. And yes, there they are, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they were the teachings from the apostles. Fine. But they are not the gospel of Christ. They are not the gospel of the risen Savior. So they are not another gospel. See? Then they go to Hebrews and 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, 1st, 2nd Peter, and they preach that as gospel, and that's not the gospel of the risen Savior. That's the gospel of the tribulation. If you want to, you know, apply it someplace like that. And Paul is clear to say, even back in chapter 11, verse 4, when he says, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, and these guys are preaching another Jesus. They are? Well, it's still the same Jesus, but it's the Jesus teachings to the Jews and specifically not to the Gentiles. So if these pastors are preaching Jesus' teachings to the Jews, you know, technically, they're preaching another Jesus. Those teachings are not written to me. They are not written to you. They are not written to us Gentiles during this dispensation of grace. So if you guys, if they want to follow those teachings, they're, you know, they're following another Jesus, really. You know, I mean, and the Antichrist, we all know, not bunny trailing, which I do that. We know that the Antichrist is going to be using the teachings of Jesus. Well, he's the Antichrist. He's not an anti-Muhammad. He's not an anti- or an anti-Joseph Smith or whatever. You know, he's the Antichrist. So he still has to use Jesus' teachings. Even though they've been perverted and changed in all these modern Bibles, there's still a flavor of Jesus in there. But he says, listen, preach us another Jesus. Anyway, that bunny trailed up. Or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received... That interesting? I mean, they receive another spirit. Well, they really haven't, you know. It's just their own man. It's their own selves. It's the devil. I mean, it's the Antichrist. He's the god of this world, and it's their own flesh, and it's their own thinking. They're still attached. They're still dead in their sins. So they haven't received another spirit or another gospel, which ye have not accepted. And I think that's interesting because these people that believe in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, John teachings, the gospel there, and these other gospels that are floating around that everybody says is from God, and it still says, which ye have not accepted. So even though these guys teach and preach these other things, they still don't accept them. And we know that. They don't live what they believe. And anyway, he says, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Him. Those other gospels are still gospel of the devil. And you know, when you say that, you say anything of the devil, you just get this feeling, everybody just starts mocking. Oh, you mean you believe in the devil? Yeah, I do, matter of fact. And this is his world. So, what's going on today? This is a cursed world. We are living in the dispensation of grace. God is allowing this stuff to take place to the saved and to the lost. And one of these days, when it all takes place, the judgment seat of Christ comes about, or the white throne judgment, Christians will have their works judged by the judgment seat of Christ, and the lost will be judged by their works, which they are sinful, they are attached to those things, they're dead in their sins, we are dead from sin, they'll be dead in their sins. I'm just bunny training this whole thing. I haven't done this for a while. We could do this all the time. So, Paul is afraid that you're going to go with this other guy, which obviously is the devil, or a preacher or whatever that's preaching that stuff. Him. That's the gospel of the devil. It's his gospel. Knowing, of course, that the real gospel is the gospel of Christ, he says in Galatians, would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven, well, there's a clue, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That's a powerful statement. And we look around and we see these people sure don't seem to be accursed, do they? Well, their day is coming. Dispensation of grace, Romans chapter 2. Yes, they are accursed. Accursed. Call it the way you want. And when they die accursed, they will, you know, do what has to take place. But if they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, the gospel of Christ, they will no longer be accursed. Accursed. But Paul says, listen, any other gospel. So these guys that are teaching these things and preaching these gospels and teachings, here we go. They're nice people. They mean well, da, 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 da. But they're cursed. They will suffer for that in due time. In the meantime, Romans chapter 2 says God is letting them. Oh, I might as well just read this thing. Romans chapter 2. I don't think this is going to be a 10 or 15 minute talk, is it? Oh, I try. He says here, but after the hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, treasurest up unto thyself against the day of wrath. It's put in a treasure chest for him. It's going to be there for him. And then I go back to the verse before that. Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? And Christians today, or the people who call themselves Christians, or pastors and preachers, are not teaching the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God that leads people to their repentance. It's not the fear. It's not Gospel Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's not Hebrews and 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. That's not what we're supposed to be teaching. That's another gospel. and they receive, they're listening and following another Christ, another Jesus. Another Jesus. And the Bible calls him the Antichrist. So, and then long as we're talking about this stuff, Romans chapter 11, verse 22, you know my favorite verse, this stuff will all come to an end when, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. Did you see, the Jews got the severity of God, and the Gentiles were learning about the goodness of God. But on them which fell, severity, but toward thee, talking about the Gentiles, this obvious there, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. As a Gentile nation, the Gentiles will be cut off because nobody wants to deal with or hear about or study or teach or preach or live based on the goodness of God. Paul is the only one that preaches and teaches the goodness of God. The King James Bible is the only Bible that teaches and preaches the King James, the goodness of God. So when this, and we see this stuff disappearing, and I guess. The more this stuff goes away, the closer we get to getting out of here. When is this rapture going to take place? It's going to take place when God says, okay, I'm done to the Gentiles. I'm not a date setter, but I can tell you what's going to be happening when it does take place. And then the tribulation kicks in. Revelation chapter 14 talks about the everlasting gospel. But that isn't supposed to be taught to us today. And that gospel will be taught by an angel. Revelation 14. I know you're going to want the reference, aren't you? Let's check it out here. Revelation 14, or is it 16? Let's check it out here. Going by memory, that's terrible thing. Revelation 14. He says, let's see here, up there in verse 9, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead, or in his hand, by the way, note the word in, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. Da-da-da-da. Go down to verse 11, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. This is what they'll have to do. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. That's what they're going to have to do, keep the commandments of God. That's tribulation. So yes, the church cannot go through the tribulation. The church that's going to go through the tribulation is the false church. And I'm telling you, the pastors, the books, the preachers, the teachers, the sermons, they're all gearing people up to live for the tribulation, because that's what's going to happen. But those of us that look to the risen Savior through a King James Bible, rightly divided, of course, we don't have to worry about that. It doesn't say we're not going to have some rough times. And boy, are we ever starting to see some stupidity, some insanity. A government that used to be somewhat free is, I'm telling you, that's a whole different world there. Let's get back to this question, which is supposed to have a quick, easy answer. I don't think I've ever answered anything quick. We're like 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. Let's get back to that here, verse 4. I think we've talked about it. Same thing. I would finish Galatians, though, couldn't we? Let's finish that thing in Galatians here. As we said before in verse 9, and so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you that ye have received. Now remember, Paul also says, but you really haven't accepted it. Anyway, he says, let him be accursed. He says it twice, or accursed, I suppose, if you're going to sing it. And then finish up with this, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And I do believe that's a struggle we all have, just to serve Christ. We just suffer persecution, and really, folks, I can safely say this. I don't think any of us serve Christ like we really ought to, because the persecution would just be too great for us today. Financially, family loss, friendship lost, jobs lost. I mean, we have to use our brain during these days, and we don't have to be politically correct, but we have to know when not to be politically correct. I'm still learning that one myself. We got to tread that thin ice. That's tough. So, but then, you know, we know there's going to be persecution. Then Paul says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it. He means of man. But by the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul's messages are so, they're from Christ, they're his words. So Paul is saying, you know, man, what Paul is preaching is not after man, and we find ourselves, at least I find myself, as a pastor, former or retired, whatever, that I wish we could help. Anyway, I'll leave that out of it. We find ourselves still fighting that persecution, don't we? And I could just keep going, because that's what you do when you start reading the Bible. You start reading through the rest of Galatians, and you start reading through the rest of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. It's just marvelous stuff down there. Talk about warning. For example, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. And we talk about these people being accursed, these nice, good pastors, preachers, teachers, brothers, sisters, husbands, wives, family, relatives, and all that. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And I mean, when the family's doing that, they're trying to preach and teach to people. So when we come up with our input, anger comes out of them. They shut it down. Well, of course, it's a spiritual warfare. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that. Anyway, keep going here. And he says in verse 14, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness." These are good people teaching good things, righteousness, but they're teaching their own righteousness, not the righteousness of God, which is only preached and taught and studied through Paul. Just like that.